monitors. And so it was wild. I felt like I was kind of on my own little island over there. And I was scared to move because I moved one time and disconnected everything. So I stayed still, believe it or not. You saw me. That leg worked out, though. Amen. All right. Oh, they're tremendous. Those guys gave it everything. And of course, Wayne and myself and Rick, we were here off and on. I was here mainly, let's see, Tuesday and Wednesday and Friday and Saturday, but at different times. But I tell you what I always brought with me, which is a very big, big, big thing. I always brought Warren hot dogs with me. I know. The Warren's hot dogs did not do all this. All the Warren's hot dogs did was keep it going while they were doing all this. Amen. And Wayne, bless Wayne's heart, we had a mess back there. And so, what now? Well, yeah, I did. And I'm not, no. DC's going. You know that episode of MASH where it says, cut the red wire. Cut the red wire. And he clicks it, and he says, but first, they're defusing that bomb. DC said, Daddy, just go and cut them. I said, it's not good to cut. He said, cut them, Daddy. I said, he said, cut them. So I went, do-do-do-do, and there it went. And so I had no idea it was going to be all that, the bag of chips to get it back up again. But you're right, Wayne. You're right. All right. So DC, I'm not even looking. You're going to have to do it for me. All right. First. Go on, keep on going. That's where there you go. You've already seen it now, I'm going to tell you anyway, because it works this sermon out perfect. One of my favorite dad jokes of all time. A man was lying on the table before surgery, and he asked the anesthesiologist, could he do it himself? And he said, sure, knock yourself out. All right. Well, the other thing about this, it don't quite make sense, does it? You know, how about when God tells us the same thing when we're facing problems, that we need help, and we tell him the same thing? Let me handle it, God. Let me do it. Let me take care of business. So today, I'm going to talk to you for just a little bit on being still and knowing that I'm God. Go ahead and flip it, DC. There you go. Psalm 46 is not a quiet psalm. Just a couple from last week, just so we can have some congruency here. Psalm 46 is not a quiet song. It's not a peaceful song. It is a psalm not written from a hammock with tea in your hand. It wasn't a psalm written while you laying on the couch drinking a Mountain Dew and watching Bonanza. It was written when trouble was on all sides. When you can't move one way without turning around and find another problem. Anybody ever had that in your life? You can't go one way, you can't go the other without finding something wrong. It is a psalm that is written while the ground under you gives away, while the mountains are falling, while the waters are roaring, while the nations rage, when your heart is overwhelmed. Your mind is racing 1,000 miles an hour, and everything around you, your whole life feels unsafe. Have you ever been there? Scared to move. Because you say, God, if I move again, what's happening next? As long as I stay still right here in my little corner, nothing else is going to happen. But guess what? Wrong. Trouble will find you. It's an equal opportunity employer. Amen. So, Psalm 46 is God's words for the moment when everything is loud. Oh, look at that. Isn't that a gorgeous picture? Everything around you is loud. And God calls you in the midst of this. When everything's crazy and you're running around like a chicken with your head cut off. And God calls you to be still. Wow. How many times has God told you that and you say, I can't right now, God. I'm too busy solving my problems. I'm too busy trying to fix it myself. So let's just go ahead, a little exegesis about this psalm. And let's see, here you go, DC. Here it is. First, God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Let's break it down. So first, he's our refuge. He's a place where you can run to, a place to go when danger comes. It is not a theory. It is a real shelter. It's tested. It's proven time and time and time again. Now, don't you just think about it right now. How many times has God ever let you down? Think about it. Oh, you didn't see it at the time. At the moment, you felt bad. At the moment, you were feeling, man, where you at, God? But in the end, you look and you say, God, you didn't let me down. Why? Because he's a refuge. And he's your strength. Not your strength. It's not borrowed strength. It's not temporary strength. It is his strength. Amen? His strength is right there when you need it and very present. In the Hebrew, it means abundantly available, always findable. God is not hard to reach. God is not far away. God is not waiting for you to get it together. If I could tell you how many people come to me when they're going through something, and I say, let's pray for God to help. You know what they say? Well, I don't think God's going to help me because I got myself in trouble. Here's where you can go, uh-oh. How many times have you got yourself in trouble and feel like you couldn't ask God? God, I can't ask you to help me. I did this myself. God wants you to ask him even in that situation. So now, here's the first challenge. Ready? Challenge number one. What storm are you trying to hold together with your own hands instead of running into God? Just think about it. What storm are you trying to hold everything together, hold your family together, hold your job together, hold your mind together, hold your spirit together, instead of just going to God and saying, God, I can't handle this. This morning, it was so funny. I had my earphones in. I was going out. I could hear my bass. And they were adjusting it so Brandon could hear my bass. They're going at it. And all of a sudden, I don't hear me anymore. And so DC's playing, and I'm just strumming because I didn't know my bass was even playing. Because I got these things in my ears. I can't hear anything else. I didn't hear anything. And I said, ho, 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 DC. Instead of me trying to fix it, I said, DC, it ain't working. DC walked over and said, well, no wonder, Dad, you unplugged it in the back. Be still. He was preaching the sermon this morning, right in the middle of it. He said, be still till you figure this thing out. I said, okay. So now, when your world falls apart, remember something. This is from last week, and then we're going on in. Ready? This is not a poetic exaggeration. This is not the psalmist saying, this is what the psalmist is saying, that even if the worst happens, God is still God. Now, last week we talked about this. So I'm not going to bring it back up other than this. The Bible says there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. This is powerful because Jerusalem had no natural river. Did you know that? Jerusalem didn't have a river. And God said there's a river that shall make you glad, the city of God. So if there's not a natural river, what is he talking about? Number one, they did have underground waterworks. That's how David went into Jerusalem to capture it. He went into the underground waterworks. But God is saying, even when your environment lacks resources, I myself will be your supply. Looking at what we see around us right now, just think about all this stuff we see around us. All this, you're just seeing the surface. You can't see it all. You don't know all the wires that's up in the ceiling and all the wires that are all around everywhere and all the hours put in to electrical and all the hours put in to making sure all this runs and all the hours of sitting up here and getting all our musical instruments together and our monitors. I'm talking about we were here every night till 11:30 until last night. We were here till 7. And so again, but guess what? We did our part, but we just couldn't have done all this without who? Without God. God, through a generous man, God put a $20,000 check in our hand and said, make this incredible. God did this. You see, we didn't have $20,000. Even when your environment lacks the resources, we didn't have $20,000 to put in a brand new system. But God said, guess what? I got 20 grand and more. And so they walked up, put a check right in DC's hand. DC put it right in the deacon's hand. 20 grand. Isn't God good? God is awesome. Now, if God can do that for us with this, what do you think he's going to do for you tomorrow? When you're going through your problems, when you got things tearing you apart, when God is trying to open up a new door for you, but you keep slamming it shut. Trust him. I was so excited to even warm a jacket. I figured for the maiden voyage, even though we had a bad startup, I'm looking good. Yeah. All right, challenge number two. What noise is drowning out the quiet river of God's presence in your life? What noise are you listening to? You know, it's kind of hard when you're troubleshooting and somebody's behind your ear that doesn't know the system and they're telling you things to do and you already know you that stuff don't work. And you don't have time to try and tell them, can you just please stop, please stop. But they're still bringing it to you and won't stop. And it makes it hard to troubleshoot the system. The same way, that's how when DC was doing this stuff, I just sat here and sat down and said, call me when you need me, buddy. Just call me when you need me. He said, I need you up here. I got up there. He said, I need you back there. I got back there. I need you to go to Washington. I went to Washington because I knew he had the know-how to put all this together. Amen. So me and Brandon both, we were gophers, and Wayne, we were all gophers. But see, many times DC would say, stop, I can't think. Wait a second. Wait. And so I'd be quiet. Why? Because sometimes the noise is drowning out the answer. Think about that. How many times has the noise drowned out God trying to tell you with a still small voice how to handle it? And you're getting all wound up and doing it all your way, and guess what? You need to change the channel. Amen? Tune in God and tune out whatever that noise is that's aggravating you. Amen? So, next, God breaks the weapons of the war. Amen? There he is. He's got it up there. Okay, nations rage, kingdoms fall, but God speaks and the earth melts. Amen? The bow breaks, the shatters the spear, it burns the shields. Let me just get up for a minute. I got to move around. Let me tell you something. We don't serve a passive God. He's not sitting back, wound it up, and wait for you to see what you can do with it. Amen? We don't serve a weak God. We don't serve a distant God. Amen? We serve a God that steps into the conflict, and when the time is right, he says, enough is enough. Amen? How long has it been since you waited for God and let him just step in? Here's the real question. Has God stepped in and said enough, but you keep nursing it? Has it been pronounced dead, but you want to keep it on life support? You see, there's a story of a father. A kid was being bullied on the playground. He tried to fight back. He tried to defend himself. He tried to stand tall, but he was overwhelmed. Then his father stepped into the playground. He didn't have to swing. He didn't have to shout. All he had to do was show up. And everything changed. Sometimes God doesn't fight by force. Sometimes he fights simply by showing up. I remember that night. I've told y'all before. I don't know if some of you haven't heard it. How many of you ever worked third shift and how third shift makes you ill? Well, I was on the first night of third shift. DC was a little over a year old, maybe 16 months old. We were listening, only had gospel music one night a week on channel. I can't remember the channel now, but it was in Williamston. And we were sitting there listening to gospel music, me and my wife and DC. And I was iller than three snakes healed. And she's trying to have a conversation, and while she's having a conversation, I felt like she was poking the bear. And so finally the bear roared, and we're going at it. I know none of y'all have ever done that. I'm sorry. Y'all thought I was perfect. We're going at it. And little old DC, a year and a half year old, comes up and stands in the middle. And he grabs me by one hand and his mama by the other hand. And he said, "Let's pray." See, God showed up. That changed my life that night. Yes, that was a very powerful, powerful, powerful thing. So just let God show up in your life. So now, where are we at now? What challenge? Challenge number three, where have you been trying to be your own? Woo! Get ready. This one hurts. Y'all better get your steel toes on. Where have you been trying to be your own Savior instead of letting God step in? I'll let you chew on that one for a while. You might, you know, you ever got a piece of thick caramel and you had to chew and chew and chew and chew before you could finally swallow it? Here it is. Here it is. This is a milk dud right here. This is a whole mouthful of milk duds. Where have you been trying to be your own Savior instead of letting God step in? Think about it. Look, it's time to quit calling your own shots. And sometimes it's good just to set back and just be still. God, I'm not sure what's happening right now, but you've got to help me. So many times at work I've done that. So many times in church, in my family, I learned just to set back and say, "God, I have no idea how to handle this. You've got to step in and show me." And I watched God do some amazing, amazing things. So here's the divine interruption, Psalm 46 and 10. Now I'm going to reach the heart of the psalm. This is the power of this whole psalm. And this verse we quote all the time. Get ready. It's one of the most quoted verses in Scripture. But it's also one of the most misunderstood. Wow. "Be still and know that I'm God." This is not a whisper. This is not a suggestion. This is not a meditation exercise. Amen. Now, remember last week, I jumped in and threw in a bunch of stuff that was not up there because God was messing with me. Well, guess what? He messed with me again. So y'all get ready to get your pencils out. In Hebrew, "be still" means cause yourselves to let go. I can't say it enough. In Hebrew, "be still" means cause yourself to let go. It's amazing what could happen if you're in your worst possible nightmare. If you could learn to cause yourself, not somebody else, you cause yourself to let go and watch what God can do. It's a very powerful thing. What it means is stop fighting, drop your weapons, let your hands fall, cease from starving, stop trying to control what only God can control. Wow. That's another ouchie. I have to think about that all the time in my own life. What God is saying is, watch this, stop trying to fix only what I can heal. I'm going to read that one again. Stop trying to fix what only I can heal. Have you ever tried to fix it and fix it and fix it and patch it and patch it? When God just walks in and goes, "There it is." And you go, "Ugh. Why don't I let him do it to start with?" So, fix only what I can heal. Carry what only I can lift. Manage what only I can control. Stop trying to be God and let God be God. Come on, stop trying to be God and let God be God. Here it is, get ready. Here, I'm going to sit down again. I got to sit down for this one. Know that I am God. Not intellectual knowledge, but experiential knowledge. Get ready. It means, and get your pens out. I wrote two pages down, so hold on. Number one, and stop it right there to see, recognize me. Recognize me. Get your pens out. Here it comes. Recognize means awareness comes before answers. Think about it. To know God begins with recognition. It is a spiritual discipline of noticing Him, noticing His presence in the ordinary. How many have noticed God in the sun, in the sky, in the rain, in the storms, in the grass? Notice His presence in the ordinary. Notice His fingerprints in the unexpected. Look at these TVs. Look at that big sound system back there. Notice God's fingerprints in the unexpected. And notice His sovereignty when circumstances feel unstable. Recognition is the opposite. Listen to me. Recognition is the opposite of spiritual autopilot. How many in here has ever been in autopilot? You say, well, what are you talking about? How many has missed your turn while you're riding down the road because you had something else on your mind? So many times I've gone places and I get there and think, why am I here? Because autopilot just took me there. One day I went to church and there was a bunch of people standing outside. I drove up, hey, pastor, how you doing? I thought, this is not where I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be over across the street. So I walked in to my office, grabbed a couple of books, walked out and said, these are good books. Got my car. And left. You see, that's autopilot. Some of y'all live your whole Christian life in autopilot, waiting for God. You're just saying, God will handle it. Let me tell you something. David recognized God when he recognized the giant. He recognized God over the giant. As he recognized God over the giant, after he recognized God and the giant, as the giant's arguing with him, how he's going to take him down, now he no longer is just talking with him. Now he brings in God in the picture, and he says, and he starts praying to God, my God's going to help me. My God's going to do this. But guess who threw the stone? David threw the stone. He just sat back and waited for God. Okay, God, we're waiting for you to do it, waiting for you to do it, waiting for you. Sometimes you got to put feet on your prayers. But at the same time, if David had gone out without God, David would have been dead. But David sought God first. He put God in order of his problems. You're bigger than my problems. The problem says it's going to take me down. It's not going to take me down. My God is bigger than this. And then he turns around afterwards, and he picks up the stone, and he throws the stone and hits the giant between the eyes. You see, he recognized his problem, but he recognized his God. He was not in a spiritual autopilot. It's when you choose to lift your eyes from the problem long enough to see the one who is way above your problem. You cannot trust a God that you do not notice. Awareness is the doorway to your faith. Number two, he says, trust me. That's why I know when God says, be still, he's saying, trust me. Really? Trust you? Have you seen what I'm going through? You see, confidence begins with understanding. Trust is not an agreement with God's plans. Listen. Woo! Trust is not an agreement with God's plan. It is a surrender to God's character. Wow. You trust him not because you understand what he's doing. You trust him because you know who he is. How many's ever had any loss in their life? How many's ever lost some very close loved ones? And you've seen God over and over and over again bring them back from the point of death, bring them back. But then the time comes when the doctor says there's nothing else we can do. Now, what do you do? Do you get mad at God because you don't understand what he's doing? Or do you say, God, I'm going to trust you. They're in your hands. You know what's best. And watch what happens in your life. Trust means releasing the illusion. Listen carefully. How many fix-it people have we got in here? Fix-it people. Guys that fix everything. We can fix anything. All right. Trust means releasing the illusion that you must figure out everything. It's an illusion. You can't fix everything. Amen? You know, I read one place that said you can't fix stupid, but you can silence it with duct tape for a while. It means, I know some of y'all get it, the country folk really got that one already. We're all country folk. We're in Everett, North Carolina. It ain't a big city. It means resting in the reality that God is already working in places you cannot see. Trust grows when you stop demanding clarity. God, I got to know what you're doing. God, you got to show me what you're doing. When you stop doing that and say, God, I know you've never failed me. I don't know what your plan is. But I know it's better than mine. Here it is. Take it. The next one is surrender to me. Letting go to make room for God. I can't tell you how many times I tell people this. They go, I don't know what to do. I say, why don't you make room for God to work? Take your hands off of it. Make room for God to work. Surrender is not weakness, it's alignment. Wow, that's a biggie. In the moment you stop wrestling for control and you allow God to be God, then you will see something happen. Surrender is the posture that says, I don't have to carry what you've already taken responsibility for. Years ago, way, way years ago, I don't think they even have many places now. I used to be, I worked at Scott's Supermarket. I remember Scott's Supermarket. Anybody remember that? And of course, I worked in a little bit of everything, but my big deal during the weekend was working as we called them bag boys. And there was some heavy stuff. We'd carry stuff out for people. Not one time to have somebody catch me out in the parking lot halfway out there and go, can you stop and put it in my arms, please? Never happened. I remember carrying out big TVs at Radio Shack. We looked at Radio Shack. Some of those TVs, big, these weren't like these TVs. They were those hosses that were that thick. I remember carrying TVs out and standing there while they're getting the car door open, while they're finding their keys, getting the car open, and moving groceries out the way so I could set the TV down. Not one time on the way to the car did they stop and say, I'm sorry, can I hold that TV the rest of the way? But we do it to God all the time. God's trying to help us. God's trying to fix it. God's trying to work it. But we won't get out of the way. We got to know what's going on. We got to know the plan. And if we know the plan, God, then we'll get here with you. And God says, the plan is you trust me. That's the plan. You see, this is not passive resignation. It's active yielding. Is choosing God's way over your instinct to fix it, to force the outcome. Number four, I'm almost through. Experience me. God doesn't just simply want to be studied. He wants to be experienced. If you come to church and don't do anything you hear all week, you just studied God. But if you put it into action, and you start working it, guess what? Now you're experiencing. His presence is not a concept. It is a reality that calms storms. It restores identity. It anchors our soul. You got to know. You have to experience what God is doing. Experiencing God means allowing Him to meet you in prayer and worship, in silence, in Scripture, even in the moments when it feels too heavy to carry alone. It means letting His presence become more real than your fear. Wow. You cannot experience God while clinging to self-sufficiency. Encounter requires openness. Number five, and I'm quitting on this one. Acknowledge me. Huh. Acknowledge me in the chaos. Somebody go, ha. Huh. Just as well, ha. Huh. Let me ask you a question. Is God your pilot or is He your parachute? Which is it? Is He your pilot or is He your parachute? If He's your pilot, you say, I trust You, God. You know where you're going. Not one time, I've done a lot of flying in the last few years. Not one time did I climb up in that pulpit and ask that captain to sit back in the seat and let me carry it for a while. You know what would have happened? An air marshal would have shot me. What happened to the pastor? He got shot by an air marshal. Was he hijacking? No, he was trying to get the pilot out of the seat so he could drive that 747 for a while. So, stillness is acknowledging and being aware that God's got you in the storm. Stillness is not the absence of noise. It's the presence of God in the noise. It's acknowledging Him in the chaos. When everything's going, all the pieces all around you, you can stop and say, God, You see this. God, You know this. God, we can't handle this. Amen? Amen. You got to declare that He's still sovereign when your life is not still. God is still sovereign. You got to trust Him. Chaos loses its power when you acknowledge the One that reigns over it. I had somebody ask me not long ago, said, man, these people keep bothering me. They won't stop. They won't stop. They won't stop. I said, well, how do you act? And I go, oh, no, you got to stop. You got to stop. And I said, there's your problem. Next time they want to bother you, just don't pay attention to them. And eventually, they're going to find somebody else to bother because they're doing it to get a reaction out of you. And if they don't get that reaction out of you, they'll back off. The guy tried it, and guess what? It worked. In all this, God is saying, you don't need, listen to this, you don't need more answers. You need to be more aware of me. Amen? Now, here we go. Get ready. Child in a dark room. A child wakes up afraid of the in the dark. Shadows look like monsters. How many's ever been there? I've been there when I was a little boy. The silence feels loud when the father walks in and says, what's up, buddy? I got you. I'm here. The child don't need an explanation. He don't need a flashlight. He don't need a map. All he needs to know is the presence of the Father is in the room. Next time you're in your darkest hour, when things around you are closing in, you see the shadows and they look bigger than they actually are, and you feel like your heart's going to drop, you have to learn to acknowledge the presence of the Father in the room. And I promise you, knowing He's there, it's going to bring it down. Because you see, you don't need to understand the dark. You just have to know that He's in the room. That's a powerful thing. So, let's move on. The God who stays. Psalm 46 and 11, the Lord of hosts is with us. Psalm 46 and 11, not He was with us, not He will be with us. He is with us. He's with us in our shaking. He's with us in our silence. He's with us in the stillness. He is with us. Somebody say, He's here. You know, I noticed, I watched Bodyguard. You know, it's amazing. They used to have a show about bodyguards. That's where I first met Mr. T. He didn't know I was watching, so he never even said hey to me. I was a little bitty boy, and there was a show about bodyguards that come on Friday night. And here come this guy with this crazy haircut, arm, he was big as a house. And he said, what are you talking about? I'll break you. And I went, wow, he's a bad dude. And then the next time I saw him, he was in Rocky III. Guess what? Rocky II, they didn't really hit. And Sylvester Stallone got criticized. So out of all people to start getting hit with, guess who he got hit with? Mr. T. Mr. T T-boned that man. He hurt him. He hurt Rocky. I hope y'all know that. He hurt him. But the worst one was Dolph Lundgren, who played the Russian. In that fight scene, it took about 4 weeks to make that fight scene. And they had to stop for 2 weeks. Because Rocky, he put Rocky in the hospital. For real. Now, the bodyguard, the quiet bodyguard. When dignitaries travel, the bodyguard don't shout. He don't panic. He doesn't run around. He stands still because he knows his authority. You see, God's not pacing heaven right now wondering how to get you out of your mess. He's standing right here with you right now, standing beside you. He's walking with you all the way. You know, I remember when I was an on-call chaplain at both places, Betsy Johnson and at Pitt, their trauma centers. And when you're working there, maybe a 12-hour shift, I promise you, you need to have roller skates. They got you everywhere. You're running. And a bunch of death. You're around a bunch of it. But you're running. And you had about 1 minute, maybe two, to read the room when you walked in to a family that's got a member that's been shot, or a member that's had a heart attack, or not a member, but a family member that's had all kinds of problems, and they're in there trying to figure out what's going on. And your job is to quiet everybody down and to keep everybody quiet. And you got about 2 minutes maybe to read the room. And I remember one night, it was right after my mama died. My heart was broken from my mama dying. I mean, it was broke. And I was out there in the car trying to get up the nerve to go in to pull my shift, 8 to 8. And while I was sitting in the car, I was listening to gospel music. And out of all songs, I can't remember who the group was now, but the woman said my mama was laying in the hospital and she was dying, and she asked me to start singing a song. And this woman had been part of the group, and her mama had part of the group, and so they start singing this song. And she said me and mama sang the first song, the first verse. The next verse, mama sang it in heaven. Had me tore up. My mama had only been dead for a couple weeks. I was so tore up. When I go walking in to try to get back to where I'm supposed to be, the chaplain met me in the parking lot with my white jacket. Back then they wore white jackets. They still wear them at Pitt. Had my white jacket. And I walked up and he said, here, put your arms in. I said, what are you doing? He says, you getting ready to go win? I said, no, I'm getting. He said, no, you're getting ready to go win. I said, what is wrong? He said, go. Go up into the north tower. Go up on the third floor. Come on, let's go. Go. We got a 28-year-old dying. He never acted like that. I had no idea what was going on. We get in there, and in that north tower, the room was packed with her family, this woman's family. The majority of them spoke Spanish. I can't speak Spanish. I can say taco. And I can say, que pasa ese? Okay? And I can say, muy bien. Yeah, I learned that when I was looking in the mirror one day. Muy bien, all right. I'm kidding. And to eres hombre. What's to eres hombre? Somebody help me out. It means you're a bad dude. To eres hombre. You're a bad dude. All right. That's, y'all learned them from prison. That's where I learned these from, was from prison. Okay. So So I go in, and the place is packed with people that speak Spanish only. The mother, who is hysterical, speaks broken English. Her daughter-in-law is bilingual. And so we sit down, and I sit down with her, and she is all to pieces. She has lost it. She is wailing, and she's screaming. And that chaplain goes, "This is my replacement. This is Chaplain Linton. He's good at this. I'll see you later. Bye." And I went, "Really?" And so I sit down, and she wouldn't calm down. And when I found out she could only speak broken English, I sit there with the dad spoke Spanish, the mom spoke broken English, the daughter-in-law bilingual. I said, "I need you to help me out." She said, "What?" And I said, "I'm going to get by her ear, and I want you to get right beside me, and I want you to repeat everything I say." And so she got by speaking in her ear because she wouldn't calm down. She was going crazy. And I said, "I want you to understand that you're not alone." She wouldn't calm down. And I said, "Nobody knows how you feel but you and God." And she still didn't calm down. And I said, "I lost my mama 2 weeks ago. I know what it's like. It felt like the rug's pulled out from under you." She calmed down. And I said, "Something happened to me that I believe is going to happen to you. But you got to let God be God. You got to be still and let God be God." And she got real quiet. And I told her about what had happened with me, with my mama, and how God's presence picked me up and tote me for days. And it's a whole long story I won't go into, but she just had a little tear. We went back in the room. We looked at her, and they got around her, and we prayed for the daughter that was dying. We come back in, and when we get back in, the daughter died. And everybody was afraid this woman was going to just go ballistic. She didn't. She stayed calm. I sat in front of her, and I held her hand. And I said, "Wait for God to do what only God can do." And she got real quiet. And I prayed with her. I'm praying with her with a translator. This is really weird. I got a translator going back and forth. And that lady reached across, and she grabbed me around my neck. I'm glad she weren't mad because she was strong. I could have got choked that night. She grabbed me and she cried on my shoulder. I took her back to see her daughter had died. And I come back and I stayed with that family till 3:00 in the morning. She never lost it again because she called on, "Be still and know that He is God." You see, God's with you in every situation. He knows when things are tough. He knows when it's beyond your ability to handle it. I hear people say the biggest lie in the world, the biggest lie, and it's a misinterpretation of Scripture. "Well, you know, God won't allow any more to come on you than you can handle." Really? Then I must be serving the wrong God. So what it really is, God lets you get in the water up to your neck. He gets you in things you can't handle above your head, so you've got to trust Him. He says, "There's no temptation such as taking you that He will not provide a way of escape." Means of escape, meaning a safe landing. You're still going to go through it, but when you get through it, it's going to be a safe landing. God's going to be there, and He's going to help pick you up and guide you through this hard problem. Amen? And so here's the final challenge. What do you need to release today? What do you need to release today so you can finally be still and know that He is God? What are you trying to work out on your own? What are you trying to do that only God can do? What are you trying to lift that only God can lift? What are you trying to do in your job, with your family, in your own life, with your sickness, with your wellness? What are you trying to do that only God can do? I got a challenge. Be still. Quit fighting. Throw down your weapons. Let your hands fall. Cease striving. Stop trying to control what only God can control. When we do that, that doesn't mean the storm's going away. Doesn't mean everything's going to be hunky-dory. Doesn't mean everything's going to be lovely. But it does mean you're going to have some power that you never even knew you had. You see, God calls us to stillness. This altar, we're getting ready to come to the altar. You can throw this up, this altar thing, DC. Throw it up there. This altar's for those who's trying to fight battles that they were never meant to fight. For those who are exhausted from carrying what God never asked them to carry. For those who need to drop their weapons, release their fear, and surrender control. Were you in any of those? It's time to be still. To know deeply and personally and powerfully that He is God. And He is in control. You know, every now and then it does good for God to show up and show off in a very powerful way that you're not used to seeing. And He does it all the time. But for this church, all of this, I'll let you know, God still got His eye on us. He's still watching us. There's things we don't understand. There's things we cannot handle. There's things that we shouldn't try to handle. Let God handle them. I remember DC was saying, we got to get you some ear monitors. Well, I got them now. I'm trying to get used to them. Man, we got to clean this stage up. He named them, all this stuff need to be done. Guess what? In God's time, at God's expense. Look at it. Don't you know He's going to do it for you too? This is God's shot in the arm saying, look what I'm doing for this church, and I'm going to do it for you. Because you're part of this church. You're part of the family. You see, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Be still and know that I am God. Go in peace. The refuge holds. The river flows. The commander reigns. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. I want you to come this way. Everybody come to the altar. You come to the altar. Come let God show you something. Come to the altar. COVID robbed us of this. We ain't gonna let COVID keep us robbed. Come to the altar. You see, there's an altar call prayer up there I need to put up. Get it? Put a song up there. That's fine. Here's what I want y'all to say. I want y'all to say this with me. Ready? God, I release what I cannot control. Wow. Say this. I surrender what I cannot fix. I trust You with what I cannot carry. Be my refuge. Be my strength. Be my stillness. Amen. Now, I want you to spend the next few minutes. You can stand up, you can kneel down at the altar, however you want to be. I want you to start praying to God and do what you just said. Go ahead, either kneel or stand, it doesn't matter. Father, we give it to You. We release what we cannot control. We surrender what we cannot fix. We trust You with what we cannot carry. Thank You, God. Thank You, God. Thank You, Lord. You're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. You are more than enough. You are more than enough. You are more than enough. Bless this mighty man. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We praise your name. We praise your name. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, touch, anoint, have your will and your way in our lives, God. Help us, Lord, to let go what we let go of. Quit carrying what we don't have to carry. We thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus. It's not ours, it's yours. You already told us, give it to you, give it to you, trust you. God, we trust you right now. It's not ours.